Hi, you're listening to a message from Forward Church. We hope this message will inspire and empower you to move forward.
Hey Forward Online, welcome to church today. And today I'm preaching part two of a message entitled Nothing is Wasted. So make sure you got your pens and papers ready and let's gather around God's word today. God bless you. And he broke it. He broke it. That's not a word we like to talk about. You know, because none of us like to admit that there are parts of us that are broken. None of us like to admit that there are parts of us that are imperfect. But the truth is, as long as we are alive, as long as we have breath in our lungs, there will always be areas of our lives that God is healing, God is putting together. As we grow more into the image of Christ, we will always need God to come into the recesses of our soul and begin to bring healing. Now, for some of us, that might be big. For some of us, that may be small. But I know this, that the older I get, the more I walk with the Lord. I've been walking with the Lord for over half of my life, in full-time ministry for over half of my life. And still every day, I need Him. Still every day, I need God in my life. Every day, God, yes, God healed me from some things yesterday, but God's got to heal me of my things today, because life, you know, life is a journey, and until we die, until we go to perfection in heaven, there will always be something about us that needs to be healed. There will always be something about us that is broken. But I love the fact that when God breaks us, see, oftentimes God reveals things to us not for the purpose of destruction, but for the purpose of multiplication. See, sometimes God puts His finger on things. Sometimes God identifies things in our lives, and oftentimes they'll come out in conversations that we might be having, let's say with leaders, or we might be having with other people. Oftentimes they'll come out in conversations, and what's happening is that the Lord's putting His finger on it. You know, sometimes when we respond with bitterness and anger at a certain person or a certain thing, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they did. What the Lord wants to do is He wants to bring to the surface the parts within us that are broken so that God can heal it. But here's the thing. Whenever God breaks anything, it is never for the purpose of destruction. It is always for the purpose of preparation. See, we've all been in social isolation. We've all been social distancing. But I was talking with my good friend, Pastor Reuben, and he made this incredible statement. He said, isolation is simply preparation for God's manifestation. Isolation doesn't have to be something that is doom and gloom. It doesn't have to be something that, you know, that is depressing. But isolation can be an environment of preparation so that through God's preparation in you, God's manifestation can come through your life. I believe with all my heart, we're not just going to go through a pandemic, we're going to grow through a pandemic. I believe with all my heart, we're not just going to survive COVID-19, we're going to thrive out of COVID-19. The church of Christ gets stronger and stronger. The gospel never goes backwards, the gospel goes forward. See, in many ways, the pandemic broke our system of doing church. 12 weeks ago, we discovered that we weren't allowed to meet in buildings. And we went, oh no, what are we going to do? And so we did, Forward Church did like what every other church did, is we went online. Now, many other churches were already online. We never were. So it was the last Sunday before COVID hit. We decided that we better start to get ready to go online. And so what we did was we got an iPad, we put it on the front row, and we Facebook live streamed that entire service from that iPad. It was awesome at the moment, but now looking back, I'm like, whoa, that's not very cool at all. But anyway, we're just doing the best with what we had. And so we did that. And then the following week, of course, we couldn't meet in church physically, so we had to go online. And here's what happened, my friends. What happened was we discovered that we were able to reach multiple tens of thousands of people right around the world, right around the Pacific, right around in Fiji, in Hawaii, right around the US, Michigan, New York, Canada, parts of Europe, right across the nation of Aotearoa, New Zealand, right across the nation of Australia, in the Philippines and beyond, and many nations that I can't even remember right now. See, here's what happened. The system broke. But what happened was God used that broken system to create a new system so that it could be multiplied. And so that's why right now in the middle of this COVID pandemic, we are launching two brand new campuses, Forward Church Sydney, Forward Church in Auckland. Why? Because the gospel never goes backward. The gospel must go forward. The message never changes. The method always changes in order to be able to multiply. If you believe God, that God's about to bring multiplication into your life, I need somebody to shout with faith, to shout with victory and declare that multiplication is coming to your world. Multiplication is coming to your business. Multiplication is coming into your soul, into your spirit right now. Somebody declare multiplication. Come on, somebody write down in the chat there, multiplication. God's about to break some things so that he can multiply some things in the name of Jesus. He's about to multiply it. Then the next thing that Jesus did is that he took the bread and the loaves and he put it into the hands of the disciples. And he says, hey, listen, yeah, you go feed them. Jesus gave thanks for it. He blessed it. He broke it. And then he put it into the hands of the disciples. And so the disciples went and they began to feed the people. And something powerful happened. As they began to feed the people what was in their hand, the miracle began to multiply in the disciples' hands. See, so often we come to God and we say, God, I need a breakthrough. I need you to come and do it. God, I need a breakthrough in this area of my life. I need you to come and speak to me. God, I need this, and God, I want that, and God, I need you to come and do it. But I believe that right now that the Lord's raising up a generation of believers who would not be saying, God, you come and do it. A generation of believers instead who would say, Lord, I thank you that you've already you've given thanks for it. I thank you that you've already blessed it. I thank you that you've already multiplied it. And I thank you that now the miracle is in my hand. Hey, I need somebody to know right now that the miracle is not in another person's hand. The miracle is not in another organization's hands. The miracle is not even in the Lord's hands. No, it's not. It started in his hands, but it's not in his hands anymore. I need somebody to know right now that the miracle is already in your hands. Somebody shout, it's in my hands. That's right. So you don't need to wait for somebody else to get your breakthrough. You don't need to wait for somebody else to prove before you can get your breakthrough. You don't need anybody else's permission to do what God's called you to do. You don't need anybody's validation for you to go to Bible college. You don't need anybody's, you know, approval in order for you to start that new venture or start that new business or go back to school or re-educate or upskill or prepare for what God has for you. You don't need anybody else's permission, and you don't need the Lord to come and do it for you. The Lord has already done it, and he's already blessed it, and he's already broken it, and he's put it in your hands. And my friends, it is time to put your hands to work. It is time to take what God's already put in your hand and do something with it. It is time to multiply it. It is not in anyone else's hands. It is in your hands. Somebody shout, it's in my hands. That's right, it's in your hands. Everything you need to do what God's called you to do is in your hands. You don't have to be like somebody else because God didn't make you anybody else. God made you to be you. God doesn't need a second version of another person. He needs the optimal, number one version of you. Make a decision. I'm not trying to compete with anyone anymore. I'm not going to try and compare myself with anymore. No, I'm tired of trying to run somebody else's race. I got to run my own race. I got to be me. I got to do what God's called me to do. You can do everything that God's called you to do. And in moments of weakness, here's what you need to say. I can do all things through Christ who is my strength. Maybe you don't have the strength now, but I tell you what, if you call on the name of the Lord will give you strength. If it's according to his purpose and if it's according to his will, God's going to bless your life in the name of Jesus. I don't know if anybody else is getting excited, but I'm getting excited right here, right now, all by myself. If God is blessing your life, if somebody's receiving a word of faith right now, give God a great big shout of praise. Come on, somebody praise him in the darkness. Come on, somebody praise him in the light. I will praise him in all of my comings and all of my goings. I will praise ye, the name of the Lord. Some trust in horses. Some trust in chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord. Somebody give God a shout of praise. Oh, you're praising so good today. Multiplied it. And he put it in their hands. And as it was in their hands, it multiplied. It didn't multiply, by the way, in their hands until they began to activate what they were called to do. The bread didn't multiply in their hands while they're still standing before Jesus. Some of us are just kind of standing, waiting in church for things. It only multiplied when they went to feed hurting people. And by the way, God's purpose will always be about helping people. You know, if you get a dream from God and that dream does not include the helping of people, then my friend, I have to question whether that's a true word from God. Because God's purpose, God's dreams, will always be for the benefit of others. It will never be just about to elevate yourself. There's nothing wrong with being blessed. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the fruit of your toil. There's nothing wrong with that. But if God answers all your prayers and your world is changed instead of the world being changed, then my friend, you gotta pray bigger prayers. And God wants you to pray bigger prayers. God wants you to be blessed. But also God wants you to use you to be a blessing to others. Let's make a decision. Yes, I'm gonna put my hand to everything that God's called me to do. And at the same time, as I do that, as I experience breakthrough, I'm going to make sure that I'm taking some people with me and I'm going to help them to find their breakthrough. Hey, I'm going to join a group and make sure that everybody else in my group is being discipled. Hey, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to go through our lifestyle classes, because doing these lifestyle classes has given me breakthrough. So I'm going to go and tell everybody I know, listen, you've got to come to this class. God's going to speak to you. God's going to set you free. You're going to experience breakthrough. But God's dreams always result in the benefit of other people. It multiplied in the disciples' hands. And at the end of that, Jesus said to the disciples, gather everything that's left. We started with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Gather what's left. And they brought everything that was left over. And he looks at it. He says, wow, there's 12 basketfuls. 12 basketfuls of broken pieces. Did you know? Jesus started with little, but he ended up with so much more. How is it that you end up with more than you started when you have so little? Here's how. You use what you have, and you give it away. You give it away. Give away your time. You give away your talent. Give away your treasure. See, the goal of ministry here at Forward Church is to give away the ministry. It's not just so that I can preach on a platform. No. I'm believing that we're going to raise up an army, hundreds, thousands of sons and daughters who would do the work of the ministry. See, my goal as a father is that one day, you know, many years from now, I won't be the pastor of this church. I'll always be the pastor of my heart, but because, you know, one day I'm going to get old. And in fact, recently my daughter Nicole, she was saying to me, Daddy, when can I take over the church? Here she is. She's a 10-year-old. She's saying, Daddy, when can I take over the church? You know, she's got a vision. And for me, I was just so excited about that. I was grateful to God far out, you know, that a young person, and I believe that for every young person who's watching right now, every parent with young children, I'm believing that for your children and for your life, that every young person would have a vision for their life, that they could make a difference for God, that they could use their talents to serve the Lord. And some would serve the Lord in the marketplace. Some would serve the Lord in education. Some would serve the Lord in entertainment. Some would serve the Lord in politics. Some that would serve the Lord in corrections and health, whatever it is. And some would serve the Lord in the work of the ministry in the local church context. And so she looked at me and she said, Daddy, we're going to take over the church. And I realized in that moment that Forward Church is Forward Church. What we're doing right now is we're only beginning. We are building a foundation. We are building a foundation for what God will do. Our vision as a church is to create life-giving churches that empower generations. So right now, I understand that my children, they get to, I mean, have to sit on the front row and watch their dad preach. And you know, I understand that right now that they're doing that. But I also understand that there will come a time in many years from now when I will sit on the front row and I will watch my children and your children and our children, and right from the front row we'll be cheering on the new wave, we'll be cheering on the next generation. And my friend, our job then right now is to steward what God is doing. Our job right now is to steward what, how God is moving right now. Our job right now is to build a foundation. And if we build a foundation right, if we build that foundation strong, then our children will never have to walk through any of the pitfalls and all any of the challenges that we have had to face. That our children will never have to walk through any of those things that we've ever had to endure in our lives. But in fact, our children will stand on our shoulders in Jesus' mighty name. And so, even right now, as I begin to just bring this to a close and pray for you, I want to encourage somebody. Nothing in your life is wasted. No doubt, no valley, no mountain, no right, no wrong, no up nor no down. There's nothing that you've ever done that could make you unworthy to God. There's nothing that you've ever been through, no decision you've ever made that God can't erase and wash away. Whether it was willfully or unwillfully, intentionally, unintentionally, it doesn't matter. Nothing in your life is wasted, my friend. I don't care what you've done, and I don't care who you've done it with. I know that this God who has rescued me, who's rescued millions upon millions and millions of believers across the planet, is the same God who wants to rescue you. If you'd be willing to believe that God, if you could use me, use me. If you'd be willing to pray that prayer, then I know with all my heart that He'd choose to use you. Joseph is standing near the end of his life in the book of Genesis, and Joseph had received a word from God at a young age. That word was that he was going to be a leader, and that his family were actually going to bow down to him. He was going to be a leader. And then his brothers, the ones that are supposed to love him and look after him, they throw him into a pit. And it's true sometimes that those who are closest to us often can bear the greatest harm. But there he is, and they throw him into a pit, and then through that pit he ends up serving a man named Potiphar. He's unjustly accused of something that he didn't do. He was innocent. Then he ends up in prison. And then all of a sudden he gets called by Pharaoh, called out by the leader, and in one moment he becomes the second most important in the entire world. And then through that experience, through those many dark days, he never saw his mum alive again. I can imagine him reminiscing about the times that he spent with his father, sitting at his father's feet, hearing stories. I can imagine him thinking about his brothers who, although they betrayed him, you always love your family. And I can imagine him in those many, many years, dark years, going, God, what have I done to deserve this? And then the Lord elevates him. And he's standing at this moment, this point of elevation. The Lord's divinely used him to save the entire world. And then his brothers come searching for food because through Joseph, the Lord has basically saved the entire world. Here's how he did it, by the way. The Lord gave him a strategy to save 20% in prosperity. And I want to encourage somebody, that might be a word for somebody. During the days of prosperity, save. And then the Bible says, they had 7 years of prosperity and he set aside 20%. And then they came to a point of famine. And in that point of famine, they lived off of their prosperity. See, when you save while there's prosperity, you'll always have something left over and you'll be able to navigate through. And more than that, you'll be able to bless other people in times of famine. So here he is, and his brothers come. And the Bible says that when his brothers came to him, he was so overwhelmed that they didn't recognize him, of course. They thought he'd long died. And he ran into a room. And the Bible says that he wept. He wailed. And his weeping was so loud that they even heard his weeping in the Pharaoh's courts. That everybody around heard his weeping and his wailing. And in that moment, what was happening was that the Lord was healing his heart. Because can you imagine such a sense of bitterness and anger? And then when he reappeared to his brothers, they didn't know him. He knew them. He introduced himself to them. And they all began to apologize. We're so sorry. We're so sorry. We were so young and we were so foolish. If we could take it back, we'd take it back. We're so sorry. Because they feared for their lives. This man literally had the power now and the authority to take their lives. And instead of taking his own authority, he called on some godly authority. He called on forgiveness. And he understood that God had a bigger plan. And he said, listen, it's okay. Because what the enemy intended for evil, God used for good. And I want to declare over somebody today. Yeah, maybe some enemies have come against you in your life. Maybe some things have happened to you. Maybe some situations have occurred. Maybe some people have come against you. I want to encourage you today that what the enemy intended for evil, God will use for good in the name of Jesus. Come on, right now, if you receive that word, somebody give God a big shout of praise right where you are. Come on, somebody shout. Somebody declare. Somebody receive this word today. I know you're receiving this word. Because nothing is wasted. Right now where you're watching, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, right now if you're watching and you don't have your own relationship with Him, then I want to pray with you and I want to lead you in this prayer. And the Bible says that all we have to do is to come to Him when we're weary, burdened, heavy laden, and He will give us rest. And then it goes on and it says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So right now, doesn't matter where you're watching, doesn't matter what you've done in your life right now, if you don't have your own relationship with God, if right now you couldn't say that you're right with God, if right now you're saying you're distant from God, then my friend, you don't need to be distant anymore. You can pray a prayer. And as you pray that prayer, it's like you're taking one step towards God. And the Lord takes 1,000 steps towards you. So right now, where you're watching, if that's you, and you're saying, preacher, include me in that prayer. In a moment, I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, I want you to, if you want to be included in this prayer, I want you to write yes in the chat. I want you to click that yes box, that yes link, right now, wherever you are. And our campus pastors, our online leaders will make contact with you because we believe in you. We believe this decision is so incredibly important. But if that's you, when I count to three, if that's you, type yes. One, you don't know Jesus. Two, you're not right with God. Three, right, yes. I see those yeses. We're so grateful for you. We're so proud of you. Nothing in your life is wasted, my friend. No mistake you've ever made, nothing you've ever done could keep God's love from you. He loves you so much. We love you so much. So right now, we're so proud of you. There's a party going on in heaven right now, rejoicing for you, and we're rejoicing with you as well. But if you typed yes, I want you to repeat this prayer after me out loud, wherever you are. Everybody in that room, if you're in a room full of people, everybody's going to repeat this prayer out loud together. Repeat after me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me so much. You died on the cross and rose again to forgive me of my sin. From today on, I'm living for you. I give you my whole heart. I give you my whole life. I'm holding on to you because you always held on to me in Jesus' precious name. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your amazing grace. I thank you for your mercy in Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Father, I just thank you for every person right now who's prayed that prayer. And I just declare the blessing of Almighty Heaven. I thank you, Lord God, that there's nothing we can do to be separated from your love. And I thank you that right now, that people are receiving your love, some for the first time, some receiving your love again. And I declare your blessing. I declare your favor. All things have gone. New things have come. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, and amen. We're celebrating with you.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like more information, please visit our website, forwardchurch.com.